As you know, the season of Lent is a time when we are preparing catechumens for baptism. And the scripture readings that are chosen by the church for these weeks are basic lessons in what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And the two things I'd like to talk with you about this evening are the notion of religious experience, which God wants each of us to have, and also the notion of transfiguration, which is a change. We actually pray in the opening prayer at Mass today for one of those themes, a theme of a religious experience. Once again, here's the prayer. O God, who have commanded us to listen to your beloved Son, we heard that in today's Gospel, be pleased, we pray, to nourish us inwardly by your word, that with spiritual sight made pure, we may rejoice to behold your glory. You know, God wants us to have sight that we might perceive his glory, which means to have religious experiences. It's an essential part of what it means to be a Christian, to actually experience God and his presence. We learn this from today's first reading from the book of Genesis, which is the story of Abram being called by God. Now, the presumption of this reading, and it was a presumption of the Jewish people, is that God speaks to us and that we can hear him. What gives Abram motivation in this reading to do the difficult things that he was asked to do was his conviction that he had a real experience of God. Now listen to what he heard. The Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house to a land I will show you." God didn't even give him a destination. He was invited to leave what was familiar and go to another place. Why would anyone in her right mind or his right mind do something like this? Except conviction. And in this case, the conviction that God was the one inviting him to do this. He goes on, "I will make of you a great nation." Little tiny Abram, unknown. God is going to make of him a great nation? "And I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you." I mean, this is really extraordinary, this promise that God is making. And God is making this promise to an old man who is 75 years old. His wife was 65 years old. God said they would have a son. Can you imagine at that age believing anything like that? The only thing that gave him the energy, the ability to respond to God's command is that he believed that he had a religious experience, that God really spoke to him and that he could hear God's voice. Now, I start off by saying that God wants each of us here to have real experiences of him. So I want you to think for a moment of your own religious experiences. First of all, have you had any? You know, they do surveys of these kind of things. The Pew survey people do wonderful surveys, and it's amazing how many people admit that they have religious experiences, that somehow they perceive God's presence in their life, they hear God or they see God. We don't want to talk about that very much because we're afraid people think we're crazy. But if God truly is our Father who loves us and who desires to communicate himself to us, wouldn't it be true that we will have religious experiences? My earliest ones that I'm really conscious of were in my high school years. I went to a seminary when I was 13 years old. Can you imagine that? People don't decide today what to do until they're 40, right? But I was 13 years old, and I thought God was calling me to be a priest. So I went to a seminary in a very small town in Kansas, where I think there might be somewhere between 800 to 1,000 people in Victoria, Kansas. And there's a really big church there, which is about the size of our cathedral. It's called the Cathedral of the Plains, although it's not a cathedral, it's just an ordinary parish church. And at night, after dinner, I sometimes would go to this church to pray. And I became convinced while I was praying that I had a real experience of God. And as I look back on those days, I still believe them to be true. I mean, you're not going to have an experience of God unless you make space in your life for that. You won't hear God speaking to you unless you find some silence. You know, one of the things that the church asks us to do in the season of Lent is to fast. And I think one of the most difficult fastings for most of us, especially those of you who are younger, is the fasting from media, you know, from your cell phone or from your iPads or whatever, you know. And it's important to do that so that there is space in your life for God. And one of the traditions of the church that has been a common tradition for centuries is a tradition of going on retreats and doing that every year. We have a retreat house here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, which has an extraordinary history. And we have many, many people who go there. But I want to ask you, how many of you in the congregation tonight have ever made a retreat? Just raise your hand. Oh, really good, a good number of people. But if you ask most people who come to church on Sunday, there would be few hands. The answer would be, no, I've never done that. Well, the purpose of a retreat is, you know, it's retreating from something. You retreat from the ordinary in order to have space in your life for God, to experience the extraordinary, like we have in the life of Abram in today's first reading. So, personal prayer, maybe coming to church like the cathedral when not everybody's here, a personal time when we ask God to speak to us. And since God, we have Jesus' promise that God always hears our prayers, we can have confidence that we'll have some kind of religious experience. Now, many of our non-believing brothers and sisters would say to me, and also to you if you talked about these same kind of things, that it's just our imagination. You know, it's auto-suggestion. You want God to speak to you, so you make it up, and you speak to yourself instead of God speaking to you, but you think it's God. What do you think of that? You know, I perhaps you've heard me tell you, say this before, but there's a wonderful play by the Irish playwright George Bernard Shaw about St. Joan of Arc. You know, St. Joan was a young girl who had visions of angels and saints, St. Michael the Archangel and saints, in France. And the visions encouraged her to take up arms against those who were opposing the king. And she was eventually captured, and she was interrogated by bishops. And the bishops asked her in the process of this interrogation, Joan, is it true that you hear voices? And she responds in this play, yes, I hear voices. The saints and the angels talk to me. And the bishop says, well, how do you know it's not your imagination? And she says, well, it is my imagination. That's how God talks to me. You know, and it's true, isn't it? I mean, just because it's God uses all the faculties of human beings to communicate with us. Our ears, the loves of our hearts, our imagination. And in all of that, he truly is revealing his plan to us. We should have confidence in religious experience. Now, if they're really strong religious experiences or weird ones, you should come and talk to the bishop about it. But you should ordinarily think that it really is the voice of God. So with that in mind, we go to today's gospel, which is the story of a wonderful religious experience of Peter, James, and John. The gospel passage begins, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. You know, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, mountains were symbols of the presence of God. It's the boundary between heaven and earth. And if you notice the story of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, the story of the Transfiguration, a common theme around mountains is that's where God reveals himself to his people. So Jesus takes his closest friends to the top of the mountain. You notice the words are by themselves, away from the ordinary and the crowd. And then it goes on, and he was transfigured before them. The word transfigured is a word we don't often use. It means to be changed. But we know from our faith as Catholics that the change actually wasn't in Jesus. It was in the perception of Peter, James, and John. Because Jesus always was the Messiah, the Son of God. And through this religious experience, they were transfigured, they were changed, they had the ability to see Jesus as he actually was and who he actually was. It's all put in poetic language. It says, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And then Moses and Elijah, you know, the symbols of the law and the prophets of the Old Testament, were seen conversing with him. And then they heard a religious experience, a voice from heaven, which said, this is my beloved son, listen to him. Now, if you remember the scripture readings of a few weeks ago, right after Christmas, we had the feast of the baptism of Jesus, when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. And when Jesus came out of the water, the same experience happened. He heard his father's voice saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And so the apostles had a really deep religious experience about who Jesus was. They were transfigured by this moment of prayer. And Peter, being really excited about what happened, decided that they should stay on the mountain. He wanted to build a place for Moses and Elijah and Jesus. And once we have religious experience, sometimes that's where we want to stay. But when we have religious experiences, we learn from this passage, they're given for a purpose, which is to enable us to live our lives, which are sometimes difficult and heavy, heavily burdened, with faith. You know, right before this passage and right after this passage, Jesus predicts his suffering and his death. And the apostles don't want to believe this. But they were able to embrace Jesus and be his disciples, despite that confusion and pain, precisely because they had religious experiences. And religious experiences are given to us so that we might be faithful in the difficult moments of our life. Now, if I may compare this with marriage, I think you can see a connection. I've never been married. But I understand it isn't always on the high mountain. There are also valleys when it comes to marriage. There's the excitement of your honeymoon, and then there's the rest of your life. I'm just joking, you know. But the reason for the honeymoon is so that you can be faithful throughout your life. The reason for those wonderful experiences of married love is so that you can be faithful when it's difficult. They're not there just to thrill us, they're there to help us to be faithful and to embrace all of life. And that's what this Feast of the Transfiguration is all about, that God always transfigures death into life, suffering into joy, darkness into light. It's the pattern of God. And we learn that from the story of the Transfiguration in today's gospel. One last word. The second reading was from the letter of St. Paul to Timothy. And St. Paul, in one sentence, summarizes just what I was trying to say. He says, "Beloved, bear your share of the hardship of the gospel." You know, the gospel, we live it faithfully is difficult, "with the strength that comes from God." And the strength that comes from God is given to us in these religious experiences. So, try praying. It's one of the practices of Lent: fasting, almsgiving, and prayer. And prayer doesn't mean saying five Hail Marys, although those are called prayers. Prayer is coming to an experience of God, having hearts and ears that are open to what He has to say. And the thing that God has the most to say is how much He loves you. And if you know that from your experience, it enables you to carry the cross, to bear the burden of the gospel with peace and joy in difficult times. So, in 5 weeks, we will renew our baptismal promises. We were transfigured the first time when we were baptized. And the rest of life, the rest of Christian life, is transfiguration upon transfiguration upon transfiguration. And we ask the Lord to use the season of Lent as a time to transform us into faithful disciples.